Welcome inside the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship podcast, everybody. Thank you for being here with us. This is the Friday recap edition of the show. We are once again inside the Bridgestone paddock. I don't know what we're calling this thing, Matt. So this is the home of all things Bridgestone, I guess, is where you've been hanging out for the last couple of days. Thanks for hopping on with me. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving us some time. What have the last couple of days been like for you? As right now, if anybody can hear in the background on the PA, yes, there is the pit stop challenge going on. So you know it's real. You know we're live and on location. But what has it been like for you to try and get your feet on the ground and understand what this place is like?
It's been a bit hectic the past couple of days, honestly. Got down here late, didn't really get any testing. I think I got two sessions at Jennings in the dry, and then unfortunately the test got all rained out. So just enough to start getting up to speed and shake the cobwebs of the winter off.
Right.
But then, got here, got all set up, and never riding the course before, never seeing the track. You know, went out there, did a track walk, and was blown away by the place. You know, trying to walk up the banking. It's unreal, you know. Took a good look at the track, watched some of the video the past couple of years to try to pick up what I can. And then there's nothing like it. That first lap was unreal. You know, nothing can prepare you for that, trying to drive up onto the banking. It was unreal. It took a lot to get my head around, and I took a lot to get up to speed, and it hasn't all been super easy for me. A lot of bike issues that I didn't anticipate, a lot of setup stuff that wasn't going right for me, but I think we're on the right track now. We made a bunch of changes, getting up to where I feel I should be time-wise, and looking for a good day tomorrow.
And Colin Fraser has mentioned this going into this event, the idea that it's a typical CSBK weekend, literally only in the sense that it's 3 days,
yeah.
Right? It's a different format, it's a different track, it's different challenges, it's different wear and tear on the parts, on the mechanical, so for you, what do you think has been the largest jump in understanding as you've tried to crash into Daytona and get a hold of this place in quick space?
I think kind of just how they run everything. It is so different to how we run up in Canada.
Yeah.
I've been racing with a CSBK for so long now, and I'm so used to their schedule. I kind of know how everything will be, but then coming down here, never experiencing the Moto America paddock, kind of have to learn everything on the fly. You can't learn the stuff going into it, so you can't really prepare yourself for anything. So it's all seeing how it goes and learning as you get through stuff.
What's your favorite part of the track? Because I know there's a lot of challenges, and we're going to talk about some of the negatives and the things that have gone on mechanically wise and otherwise for you. But what was the part of this track where you got on it and you were like, oh my God, I'm at Daytona. This place is incredible.
Yeah, I think the banking has got to be that for me. You know, running around that first lap, running the high banking right along the wall, there's no replicating that feeling. Coming off the banking onto the back straight, breaking for the chicane, it's with Daytona, it's all super high speed and super cool, that sort of, you don't see this type of track anywhere else in the world. So it's so cool to be able to run it and see what it's like now.
Do you laugh now that you have had 2 days of running on this iconic track, looking back at what your expectation was after watching previous races? Because for myself, and this is the funny thing, right? Like, I'm in the same boat as you. I just happen to be a broadcaster who doesn't have to actually go out on the track and try and prove myself. But I love the fact that I saw those guys wiggling around trying to down and get into the chicane.
Yeah.
And then find a way to wheel hop their way out of it and climb back up onto the banking and get back all the way around to the front straight. And I looked at that on those previous editions of the race, and I was like, man, they're pretty under control at the top end. And now you see it live with the top end guys, right? Like the Richie Escalantes and the Josh Herons and all the rest. And you watch that back and you're like, that's not normal. They just have hours and hours and hours and hours on this track trying to understand what that back straight is like.
Yeah.
Your expectation coming in, I would imagine, was, I'll show up, I'll figure it out, right? And we'll see what it looks like. And then I imagine that you got here and it turned into something different. Because the reality hits pretty quickly once you're actually here. Talk to me about the difference between watching those races, seeing those breaking points, seeing those markers, and actually being the guy who's on the track trying to take those breaking points and find those markers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I spent a lot of time watching the old video, you know, the past couple of years, watching the race, trying to figure out the lines, learn the breaking points.
Yeah.
And once you get out there and try to push to them, it's, you know, you can't do it without a lot of, you know, experience around the track and a lot of knowledge. You know, just sort of getting out there and, say, throwing yourself in the deep end has been a tough go. You know, it's a lot to step up and try to push like those guys, because a lot of the guys are, you know, the best in the world.
Right.
So it's great to be down here, you know, seeing where you line up against them. But it's a huge step to, you know, come down with any expectation to try to compete against them.
Right. What have you guys specifically been up against, in your opinion, in terms of what the struggles have been, whether it be mechanically, otherwise, performance? Like, how have you tried to adapt to your challenges over the last couple of days?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, on challenges, I've seen them all. You know, the
well said.
You know, the bike setup, we came down here with not really knowing what to expect, how to set the bike up. You know, when I first started out, I was running a very modified, you know, Canadian track setup in
right.
a sense, but that hasn't worked down here, of course. So, you know, we've been a lot of changes just to try to suit the track and what it demands, because a Canadian track that's flat doesn't have any elevation. When you throw in the banking here and still needing it to handle on that flat, it's hard to get a bike that does both really well.
Right.
You know, the motor that we built for this weekend, unfortunately, wasn't up to par with all the other guys, so trying to draft has been super difficult. You know, getting out there, I can get with some groups, but it's a bit of a struggle. And then, you know, the other thing, the Bridgestone tire has been great for the most part. You know, just trying to make sure it'll go, you know, the pit stop window, that, you know, 19, 20 laps.
Yeah.
We're just playing around and making sure that I'm going to be happy for those 20 laps on that tire.
Absolutely. The when you talk about the engine that you guys build, obviously you're on the Yamaha YZ6, right?
So yeah, the R6.
Yeah, R6, sorry. So
yeah.
you're finding basically your footing on familiar machinery for you, but
yeah.
also trying to, which is different than some of the guys here, right? From the CSPK,
yes,
it's,
yeah.
you know, Garan on a Kawasaki and,
yeah.
you know, Ben Young's riding on
yeah.
a Suzuki over here next to us and all the
yeah.
rest. But how different does what you run feel when you have to change your setup that much? Because I imagine that's a bit of a culture shock, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
terms of you're on the bike and you're saying to yourself, I know what this is supposed to feel like. I know what it did all year last year in a stellar season for you in CSBK.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel the same down here, because I have to alter so much of this, because this place is just such a one-off. It's so different.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much that I've had to change to it. Yes, it is still my bike. I'm still so familiar with it. I've been on the R6 for, you know, 3-4 years now,
yeah.
and I'm so familiar with it. But coming down here, having to change so much of the bike, you know, it kind of feels alienating in a sense. You know, I'm not familiar with how this setup is. You know, I can't exploit it the way I did up in Canada, you know, with the setup that I was used to
right.
up there. So it's a big step to change the bike and try to get used to it in the such limited running that we've been able to have, unfortunately, down here.
What do you feel like is the reason for hope going into Saturday?
And
this is why I preface it, hope within reason, because you understand where you're at, you understand the field,
yeah.
you understand the factory teams you're up against and all the rest, but
yeah.
what is success to you, I guess, is what I'm asking on Saturday. Like, what will you be happy with on Saturday without setting expectations of, I'm
yeah.
going to be top five, because everybody wants to be top five,
yeah.
everybody wants to win the Daytona 200.
Oh,
but
yeah.
what is success for you in this event?
I mean, you know, given that it's my first ever time here, you know, I'd say, you know, easily success is just making it through to the end of the race,
yep.
not having any issues, you know, seeing the checkered at the end. But realistically, looking at how the field is now, where I am, you know, I'd kind of like to say, you know, a top 20, top 30, somewhere in around there
yep.
would be a really nice spot to hit. And I think that would be a win for the team and what we've done to get here so far.
Who do you want to give some love to before I let you go of who's helped you get down here and try to get this thing set up for Saturday?
Yeah, there's been countless people that I got to thank. You know, Blackstock Motorsports, Accelerated Technologies, Alien Tech Racing, Hindle Exhaust, you know, Vortex, Bickle Racing, you know, the whole crew that came down with me, my family, Jordan Royd, Sebastian Hathaza, a couple of CSBK pro riders made the trip down for me. So, you know, I got to give a big thanks to all those guys for helping me get here and kind of living the dream.
Royd's is handling, it looks like, the gas can over there. I see you right now on the other side of the garage. He's been crew chiefing a little bit for you over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of been running as my crew chief down here. You know, he runs his own program up in Canada, so he knows what it demands. So he stepped into that role for me. And you know, we're still making huge changes to the bike, making a lot of stuff to try tomorrow morning. And hopefully we can, you know, get that perfect setup to go into the race tomorrow.
Well, I'm excited for everybody. I know it's been a big challenge, but I think anybody who watched your race this past year in CSBK is proud of what you've done. And I know that you guys are going to be chipping away and trying to find little fixes and, yeah, you know, tenths of a second here and there. And hopefully you find a little bit of that. And the warm-up lap goes well and we see you take the green, then the checkered.
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. And hopefully a good finish to tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Cue the music.
As he's crushing some chocolate protein to stay, the body's got to stay up to date. Anybody we should be giving thanks for the food deliveries that have been happening here in the Bridgestone paddock, Trevor?
My gorgeous fiance who flew in yesterday just to take care of me like I'm a little baby,
yeah,
making me lunch and making the whole crew lunch. So
very similar to One Speed Inc. back home, I know, where it's the drop-offs to make sure you're not just having coffee the whole time, that you're grinding away on these bikes. You've built these things from the ground up. I know it's been some challenges for you guys. Where do you feel like you're at this point?
Yeah, you know, it's been a lengthy experience for sure, but, you know, Ben and I started on this program probably late July, you know, sitting down, meeting with the group from Bridgestone at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park at last year's CSBK race. So, you know, it's given us an opportunity to kind of take what, you know, Ben and Elliot learned last year, more on the we need more of this, or more attention spent on this side of things, and, you know, give us the opportunity to you know, cross the T's and dot the I's, which kind of bit them a little bit last year by the sounds of it. But yeah, you know, some challenges. I think it's more so not, you know, the challenges are this layout's so different for us, right? You know, we're used to a whole day Friday of practice and then practice Saturday morning and then we qualify Saturday afternoon. Where here it's, you know, you gotta put up or shut up right away kind of thing, right? You got a quick practice session and then you got to get at it right away in qualifying. So yeah, we did have a little brake issue yesterday that was limiting our track time, but we got that sorted last night. We pretty much had an idea, and it was a change or a modification we made kind of for the pit stops. So we had an idea of what was creating the issue, so we got that rectified last night, and we kind of had a bit of a fail-safe for the pit stop.
Yep.
Or for that what we had done there. So, you know, we're not concerned with that, which is nice that you know, we corrected the issue, but aren't really concerned about stuff. So,
from everybody that I talked to around here, they basically said you guys knew that might be an issue with the brakes because it was an inevitability that this place is hot and hard on parts and all the rest. So you saw it coming. You feel like you corrected it. You move forward. What's next?
Yeah. You know, again, because of the limited track time yesterday and then, you know, the track time we did get. You know, here it's so important to draft guys and going in the brake zones right on a guy's tail and really not know what you're going to get when you pull the lever. Definitely doesn't really, you know, give you too much confidence. But again, we got confidence in the crew, so we got to fix. So today was really starting to dial in some setup stuff, which obviously we wish we had got to yesterday. And that's not to say we didn't, you know, tackle some stuff yesterday, but it was a little bit of wipe the slate clean this morning. And you know, it's almost like today was FP1 yesterday for us in qualifying. So, you know, both Ben and I made a step forward. You know, I think we both dropped a little bit over a second and, you know, still have some time to go. But I think, you know, we're not overly concerned. You know, for me personally, my Achilles heel in sprint racing has always just been a little too chill the first couple laps, but I get faster and faster and faster. And,
right,
you know, our 22 lap races in Canada always need to be a lap longer for me. There's so many coulda, shoulda, woulda races I look back on that one more lap would have, you know, I'm sure I would have had Superbike wins by now. So this format, you know, 57 long laps, you know, they're theoretically twice as long as some of our CSBK tracks, you know, really plays into my strengths. Again, we've got a really solid team. You know, we're really fortunate, you know, you're able to come up to the shop and witness it there, that we were able to kind of get the whole crew together. And do some pit stop practices. And, you know, it's one thing for me building stuff and doing it myself. you know, I can put the tire in and out of the bike 25 times and not have an issue.
Right.
I'm not the one doing the pit stop, right? Yeah. So again, it was an awesome opportunity that.
Yeah, hell of a thing if you were though. Hop off the bike, pop it up, put it in, pull it out. I mean,
yeah, it wouldn't be the first time. But anyway, so yeah, you know, we've got confidence in that. So, and again, one thing that we know with these Bridgestone tires is they're good for the distance, and we learned that last year that you know, where conventionally there's a drop off 4 or 5 laps into the race in tire performance. You know, last year with the Bridgestone Battle Axe tires, we were seeing fastest laps on the last lap, second last lap. So, you know, we've got 3 races essentially tomorrow, back to back to back, you know, to put these things to the test and show what they're made of. And I think that that's going to be an advantage for us.
We always talk about the sectors of the lap. Do you section off the actual race itself like that for yourself in order to condense it? Because I agree with you. Like, I've actually seen you, even in the sessions, you seem more comfortable on the bike, whether it's your positioning, your speed coming out of corners, your lines, otherwise. Like, I've watched you guys really closely because you are the interest point for us here covering this race. When I think of the way that you have attacked in these sessions and tried to level up and tried to build and tried to catch up to some of the guys that are posting some of the quicker times, it makes me wonder, and this is why I have to ask you this, is the idea of, do you put it into, okay, what is a win by first pit stop window? What is a win for us by second pit stop window? And then how do we finish that third and final and crucial window?
Yeah, well, it's obviously a really long race, right? And yeah, you know, you can break it in. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm going to have a different strategy from, you know, if you want to call them sectors of the race, from sector to sector. It's, you obviously don't want to lose a bunch of time in the opening laps. I think I'm starting 31st tomorrow, so I'm starting mid-pack. You know, it's going to be inevitable to lose a bit of time on the leaders. I'm not going to be too bent out of shape if I'm not in, you know, that lead group, because that lead group could be 3 bikes, it could be 20 bikes,
yep.
You know what I mean? When, you know, watching races past, you know, big groups are out there as 10 bikes, you know, they kind of trickle in the pits over, say, a 2-3 lap period. You know, next thing you know, that group's down to 5, and then there's a next group of 8, and, you know, after the second pit stops, then they're all back together again, right? So, you know, it's kind of no different than practice. You know, looking down, seeing the times, I wasn't, you know, would have liked to have gone faster, for sure. There's no denying that. But, you know, to go out there and push and throw the thing down the road, it's like, well, then I'm not moving. No, I'm giving my crew a lot of work and having to fix the bike, but more so, you know, lacking, going to take laps away to learn, right? So it'll be the type of thing. Like, I know, like you mentioned, I was feeling more comfortable as we went. You know, and again, that's kind of been my nature is, you know, when I get comfortable, I can push. And typically, regardless, the green flag flies that I've been able to throw down. So, you know, but again, it's a long race. So, you know, the first stint isn't the type of thing to be bent out of shape. You know, watch the pit board, pay attention to the guys. Watch the big American flags here outside of the stadium, because, you know, that was definitely one thing that made it tough, too, was kind of getting a drafting partner. You know, obviously having Ben as a teammate, you know, the ideal scenario, which we saw, or I saw some of the other teams doing with teammates, is they were swapping laps. You know, one guy would get a tow for a lap or two, and then they'd switch out. You know, we weren't really in the same place on the track, and it by the sounds that we kind of both worked out. We were both kind of riding around on our own, so... at least got a couple laps in the draft to, you know, verify the gearing. You know, we weren't over-geared or anything like that. Bending, we were under-geared riding by ourselves. But, you know, there's 67 guys that are going to be on track. So, theoretically, you know, double as much as there's been in the A and B session. So, you know, the inevitability of having a tow to, you know, kind of move you from guy to guy or from group to group. You know, it happens in cycling, right? You know, you get a tow from one people and pull up to the next group of riders and stuff. It's going to be the same thing tomorrow. So just, again, a long race. I'm ready for it.
And you're used to getting a tow from that guy as well when you're out cycling on the road somewhere in Ontario.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I try and break the air for a few minutes to give him a break and not be a total dick. But, you know, he's a strong boy. So,
that's awesome.
Strong laddie, we'll put it that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, hopefully he's a few rows ahead of me. Hopefully I can kind of get up with him. We can work together. We're going to be pitting on not at the same time.
Yep.
We're going to, you know, I think that's a strategy we've talked about. And there's a theoretical, you know, disadvantage if there's a mistake or something, not seeing the pit boards. But, you know, we've been pretty good with that. I got Kenny Reedman, who raced here many times, doing my pit board this weekend. You know, theoretically, it gives our crew twice the amount of pit stops to get comfortable and get into it. And, you know, again, in our practices, we were around 11 seconds. The pit stop challenge just ended. The winner was 15 seconds. You know, so we just don't need to knock at a 10-5 stop. You know, we just let the guys hit their marks and be comfortable. And, you know, there's no panic with them. There's no panic with us. And just, you know, do our thing. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
I agree. I promised I wouldn't keep you very long. I also see your fiance wandering over here, so I will let you go get back.
Oh, she's got more food.
Running around. She got food. She got coffee.
Starbucks.
She got all sorts of fun stuff. Trev, thanks for hanging out and stopping by.
Hey, my pleasure.
Looking forward to chatting with you after a successful Daytona 200.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Welcome back to the Canadian Superbike Championship Podcast. My name is Marshall Ferguson, and extremely excited right now to be joined by what I think is the coolest store on the entire damn grid. Is that fair?
I guess to you, yeah, for sure.
Kayla, thank you for being here. Kayla Yakov, 17?
16.
16, okay, yeah. So your birthday I was slightly off on, but your journey to get to this point, being part of the Rahal Ducati Moto team, is incredible to me. I've been reading about it up in Canada, been loving it, you know, following along through the Canadian Superbike Championship, CSBK, and I've seen the jumps that you've made, the fun that you've had. What has this been like? Like, big picture, talk to me about the experience of being here at Daytona and being part of this team.
Yeah, it's insane, honestly. You know, having the Rahals come in and show interest in the sport, and then on top of that, show interest in me. And believe in me to ride one of their bikes has been really cool. Such a cool experience to be a part of. And honestly, you know, something that came out of the blue. So, you know, we've been working so hard during the off season to have a lot of fun and get things going for this year. But I've been having a lot of fun.
You had an awesome experience being able to get the call from them. Tell me when the call came in. Like, what was the initial reaction in terms of getting that response? Because you knew what this team was going to be. You knew the support you were going to get with the name of the Rahals. And now you're actually sitting here in the garage and you're experiencing what this is like.
Yeah, yeah. I stepped into the Moto America Supersport category late last year, right.
Yeah.
And was able to make that jump into the Supersport category. And at that point, I had started talking to Ben Spies more and more. I had been talking to him for quite a while at that point, but not really consistently. So he started consistently talking to me, and he kind of alluded to a new team coming into the paddock, and didn't really give too much away about
his interest. The hint that you got, Kayla? What was the time that you were like,
Well, his hint was more like, we might have another team coming into the paddock. And then he started working with me more and more that weekend at COTA, and then talking to me again at Jersey. And that's when things started going on, like, well, you might have an opportunity to be on this team. And at that point, you know, you hear stuff like that kind of a lot. And you always have people saying, well, maybe you should go to this team or maybe that. And at that point, I didn't know he had such a big role in the team. And yeah, so he kind of alluded to these small things, and I didn't really believe it. You know, you take such an opportunity like this with a grain of salt, especially for me just coming into the paddock, or into the super sport category, I guess. And yeah, they showed interest, and you know, he gave me the call saying they really want me on the team, and it was really crazy just to get that. Yeah.
Did it have an added level of reality though, because it was Ben? Like, for because you say that you've got all these, we might have, there's a different ride, and we might have this, and we might have that, and it's in the Twins, or it's in this, or that. And when it's Ben, he's been like, hey, listen.
Yeah.
And he comes with his pedigree. Yeah. Was that something that you said, oh, okay, you go back to your people, and you go, this might actually be for real?
Of course. You know, it's Ben Spies, you know, ex-MotoGP rider, winner, and World Superbike champion. So, you know, you take everything he says seriously. Especially anyone of that caliber, you have to really listen to what they're saying. And then when you have someone like him saying they want me on the team and he wants me on the team, it puts a whole different perspective on everything.
I know you got to get to pit practice here in a couple of minutes, but I do want to ask you about the actual performance of the bike and what you have seen. Because in Canada, our analyst is Colin Fraser, who's on this mm-hmm. podcast consistently. And Colin, the first thing that I always ask him, because he has such a great eye, he used to run AMA and be involved here in Daytona, and he's raced so much up in Canada, is when you just watch the bikes, who's sticking to the track? Who looks good? Who do you see? And the first thing he said was, those Rahal Ducatis are for real. And his whole thing is, he's seen Ducatis over years and years and years and years. His first race here at Daytona was 78.
Yeah.
And he said, when I saw the Ducatis come through for the first time through the chicane, I saw the way that they were cornering, and I thought to myself, they've done a great job of setting these up. Even the preliminary setup on a Thursday, when I recorded with him yesterday, he said, these have stuck to the track. Have you felt that same way? Have you felt like right on the ground? Obviously, there's always improvements that you can make, but what is your current feeling on the bike as we sit here on Friday going into race day Saturday?
Yeah, honestly, so I'll just go back to testing a little bit. You know, testing was amazing. We had great feelings with the bike, found a really good base setup, and everything was clicking really well. And coming here Thursday, first time at this track, on this bike, doing Daytona, new team, everything like that, it was a bit of a change, and our setup wasn't really working right away. I wasn't very comfortable in our first few sessions, honestly. But with that, we got a lot of data, and which was also something we lacked in the preseason test. But now we have that data, and we're able to go through it. And even in our qualifying two session this morning, I felt so much better, and the bike had such good contact with the track. I was definitely feeling one with the bike.
Awesome. Well, I'll let you go. I know you got stuff to do, but thank you so much for hanging out, stopping by, and excited to see what you can do on Saturday.
No problem. Thank you very much.